Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
And it's the middle of the week. It's a Wednesday. Beautiful feast day today. Our Lady of Sorrows, pray for us. We'll be talking with Steve Ray about that. Actually, he is in Lourdes, wrapping up a pilgrimage, and we'll talk about Our Lady of Sorrows and also just how the trip is going and what it means to folks to be in such a powerful Marian site, of course, where St. Bernadette saw the apparitions of Our Lady, the approved apparitions of Our Lady of Lourdes. He could tell us all about that, the location. If you've never been there, it's quite a place to see. The sanctuary area and the underground church that they have there, the beautiful churches, is a church on top, and then there's the big cathedral below, and then there's this church underground that seats, I mean, I don't know how many people they can seat down there. Steve will have more information about it. But I've been to Lourdes, I think, twice now, and it's just pretty powerful. It's really overwhelming. That's all I can say. So if you have the opportunity, once things start to open up again, I would really think about it, to get out there and to try to make a pilgrimage, because it makes all the difference in terms of walking in the footprints of our saints. So we'll talk about that with Steve Ray about 15 minutes past the hour. And then Dr. Matthew Bunsen, our own Dr. Matthew Bunsen from EWTN News, did such a great job covering the Eucharistic Congress in Budapest. So much going on there. And such a commitment from the network to be in such a major location with the crew. And we'll talk mainly about the main themes and what the impact on something like this can be for the church, and especially in such a tough time in, God willing, hopefully a post-COVID world in which we're in. But look forward to talking with Dr. Matthew Bunsen, just catching up on a number of things, especially our great coverage of the Eucharistic Congress. I mean, it's very nice of him to join us so quickly, because I think he just got back. And being a frequent international traveler, I know how that can affect you. You need a couple of days to recover, although I love it. I never get tired of traveling, but it's draining, trust me, just the actual travel itself. But it is exciting to be in these places where the faith is alive, and Hungary is a place where the church is growing, and I'm sure Dr. Bunsen will have a lot to say about that as well, along with the beatification of two new blesseds in our church. So we'll talk about that with Dr. Bunsen. Don't forget to check out all of our great resources online, including the Catholic View for Women, EWTN Live, Women of Grace, and all the great programs we have for you on radio and television, EWTN.com. And keep us in your prayers, because Ave Maria Radio is having their membership drive this week. We're in the middle of it right now. It's a Wednesday. And so Al Crest and I are switching back and forth between doing our first hours of the program and then coming on here live with you. But it's a lot of fun, and we do this differently now because of COVID. Normally we have a whole huge team of volunteers, and it's an absolute blast. People come in. We have folks that bring all kinds of homemade goodies, but obviously because of COVID concerns, we're not doing that with our volunteers, and we have a very small, bare-bones staff that are running around like adorable little chickens with their heads cut off, because they have to do it all on their own. So pray for us this week. And if you have, as I say, a Catholic radio station in your neighborhood, please, please, in your diocese, support them and support EWTN, because we work hand in hand. So think about it this way, if you want to understand the relationship. So you've got, for example, if you were to turn on your TV, you would have your, if you're looking at broadcast channels, let's just look at that area, not looking at cable. If you have your ABC affiliate, your NBC affiliate, and your CBS affiliate, then you also have the network, and they carry the programming of that network. So this is basically how it works here. We have affiliates, we call them affiliates, local radio stations that often have, as do local TV stations, have their own programming, but then they connect with EWTN for the network feeds. The only difference is, unlike the networks, the secular networks, EWTN offers all the programming to our affiliates for free. This is something that Mother Angelica, when she founded this network, insisted upon, because think about it. In terms of trying to raise funds, brick and mortar stations, right? They still need a bare bones staff to keep the lights on, and some even employ, as we do at Ave Maria Radio, a number of producers and content providers. and we work with EW10, obviously, co-producers. We work together on these shows. But most of these affiliates will have maybe a smaller staff, maybe 5 to 10 people that are helping keep the station on the air and are producing some local events. But imagine if they had to raise money for that and then pay for the network feed. I posted our membership drive on my Facebook page the other day, and I heard from one of our affiliates thanking us for all the great programming that EW10 and Ave Maria Radio provide. So this is why I'm saying that it's really helpful to support your local station and then also to support EW10, because we're working in conjunction with each other. If you don't have a local station in your backyard, maybe you can kick it up a notch for EW10, or maybe, as I was saying yesterday, go on to EWTN.com, the radio section, and then pick one. Pick an affiliate to support. And then maybe the next time you go and you support another one in addition to supporting EW10. We are family, as Michael Warsaw always says when he comes on the air and says, hello, family. And we want you to work with us to keep these stations and, of course, EW10 on the air. So that's just my little plug for all the stations out there and for the network working so hard to raise money to give you 24/7 Catholic programming. Okay, Steve Ray and Dr. Matthew Bunsen, going to be an exciting show, I'm sure. What does the weather look like as we're wrapping up summer? Let's say technically we have, I think, 7 days left of summer, because autumn does not move in until September 22nd. I know, I look at the calendar every year for this because summer is my favorite time of year. I love fall, though, too, but I'm still a summer girl. Anyhow, lots of rain. Thank you, Hurricane Nicholas, or Tropical Storm Nicholas, impacting the North Gulf Coast through early Friday, with potentially life-threatening flash and urban flooding and widespread minor to isolated moderate river flooding. This has been one tough summer for rain, hasn't it? Isolated strong to severe storms possible across the Ohio Valley into the Northeast, with threats of damaging winds, large hail, and a few tornadoes. So keep that in mind, especially in the southern part of the country, along now Louisiana, Alabama, and Mississippi, and northwest Florida, in the Tallahassee area, looking like it's going to get hit with some of that rain. And then we've got some high heat temperatures, of course, in the Midwest and the Northwest as well. 9:07 already on your Wednesday morning edition of Catholic Connection, the Feast of Our Lady of Sorrows. Let's see what's happening in and around the world in your news right now on a Wednesday. Well, at Slovakia's National Catholic Shrine today, the Holy Father is saying that Our Lady of Sorrows is a model of how to live the faith with compassion and care for the suffering. During Mass on this feast day, the Holy Father is saying, Mary, Mother of Sorrows, remains at the foot of the cross. She simply stands there. She does not run away or try to save herself or find ways to alleviate her grief. More than 2,500 people demonstrating Monday outside the Mexican Supreme Court building in Mexico City to defend life and oppose abortion. Catholic News Agency explaining last week the Supreme Court of Justice of the nation twice ruled against pro-life articles. It's now taking up the question of conscientious objection to abortion for medical professionals. CNA reporting demonstrators outside the court building holding up banners, blue pro-life flags, Mexican flags, and images of Our Lady of Guadalupe, and they shouted slogans for life and against abortion. Doctors and leaders from pro-life organizations also speaking at that event. And prayers are now being sought, as CNA explains, for the quick and safe release of a Catholic priest, Father Benson Bulos Luka, kidnapped from his parish residence in Nigeria's Kafanchan Diocese. Nigeria has been experiencing insecurity since 2009, when Boko Haram insurgency began with the aim of turning the country into an Islamic state. Since then, the group, one of the largest Islamist groups in Africa, has been orchestrating terrorist attacks on various targets, including religious and political groups, as well as civilians. In other news this morning, Republicans say Secretary of State, as Mike Bauer tells us, Antony Blinken should be held responsible for the failures in Afghanistan.
I don't know, because we're reviewing it.
Well, see, you'd think you'd kind of know before you off somebody with a Predator drone whether he's an aid worker or he's an ISIS case.
Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky posing a tough question to Secretary of State Antony Blinken over a drone strike that killed 10 Afghan civilians, including several children. After Blinken's testimony to the House on Monday, the RNC released a statement with the banner headline, Fire Blinken. Republican Senator Josh Hawley said Tuesday he would place a hold on every single civilian nominee for the State and Defense Departments until Secretary Antony Blinken and Secretary Lloyd Austin resign from their posts.
Speaking of Afghanistan, senators, meanwhile, investigating the U.S. withdrawal from that area.
This committee expects to receive a full explanation of the administration's decisions on Afghanistan since coming into office last January. There has to be accountability.
That's New Jersey Democrat Bob Menendez citing horrifying abuses by the Taliban after overtaking the Afghan government.
This group is woefully stuck in the 14th century with no will to come out. Their concept of political representation and legitimacy is based squarely on the use of violent force and intimidation.
Menendez, chairing the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, he noted in the hearing yesterday that he supported the withdrawal of U.S. forces from Afghanistan, but questioned whether it was handled correctly. The Democrat also leading a moment of silence for all casualties of the 20-year war. Mark Mayfield tells us it looks like Joe Biden's approval rating is slipping again.
A new poll from Quinnipiac University puts it at 42%, down from 46% last month. This is the first time his rating has dropped into negative territory since the survey began in January. It comes amid the new surge in COVID cases. Nearly 6 in 10 voters also disapprove of his foreign policy following the U.S. troop withdrawal from Afghanistan.
So what happened in California yesterday with the recall? Well, according to reports, it looks like Governor Gavin Newsom survived that election against him. He will be staying in office with over 60% of voters saying no to that recall. Leading Republican challenger Larry Elder says, however, the fight isn't over just yet.
We don't finger point, we don't blame, we roll up our sleeves, we get back to it because, as I said before, we may have lost the battle, but we're sure as hell going to win the war.
Elder led all candidates hoping to unseat Newsom. The Secretary of State's office reporting among those voting in favor of the recall, he received 47% support. Next in line will be Democrat Kevin Pathrath with nearly 10% support and Republican Kevin Falconer with almost 9%. Nonetheless, Newsom is just the second California governor to ever face a recall election, but the first to survive one. Noam Lanham reports New York healthcare workers are given a religious exemption and will be able to skip getting the COVID shot, at least for now.
A federal judge issuing the temporary restraining order that prevents the state from enforcing its COVID vaccine mandate for healthcare workers who claim their religion prevents them from rolling up their sleeves. That's good news for workers who don't want that shot.
I'm holding out and I'm going to wait. I'm hoping that we're not mandated to get it, and we do get the choice.
The order comes as some doctors and nurses in New York suing the state over its pandemic policies. They claim the mandates are irrational and violate their religious rights.
Florida's governor, meanwhile, Ron DeSantis, is raising some questions about Joe Biden's coronavirus vaccine mandate. The Republican governor questioned what is considered vaccinated.
Or is it going to be continuing to have to do shots basically whenever some government agency says to do it?
DeSantis wonders if a mandate means you also have to get the booster, and if someone chooses not to get the booster, does that mean an employee faces termination in that situation as well? For those Florida residents who want that booster, he promises once they're authorized, it will be made available to them. Olympic gold medalists will testify today before a Senate committee on the investigation into Larry Nassar.
They were America's sweethearts, Olympic champions who captivated a nation, but many of them were bearing a painful burden, abuse at the hands of someone they should have been able to trust, team doctor Larry Nassar.
That's reporter Chris Pallone reporting on the situation with Larry Nassar. He says well-known gymnasts, including Simone Biles and Allie Raisman, will go before the Senate Judiciary Committee to talk about the probe into Team USA's former disgraced doctor. Nassar was given a de facto life sentence for sexually assaulting many girls and women, including Biles. The director of the FBI will testify as well, and so will the Justice Department's Inspector General. Michael Kastner tells us a man is in custody in connection with a bizarre and continuing odd story, a shooting of a prominent South Carolina lawyer whose wife and son were shot to death back in June.
Authorities say 61-year-old Curtis Smith is being held on several charges, including assisted suicide and conspiracy to commit insurance fraud. Attorney Alex Murda was wounded on September 4th and told police he was shot in the head while changing a flat tire. An affidavit from the South Carolina Law Enforcement Division alleges Murda had given the gun to Curtis Smith and then told him to shoot him so Murda's other son could collect a life insurance payout of about $10 million. I'm Michael Kastner.
Gas prices keep climbing. AAA's national average price for regulars up for the third day in a row to $3.183 a gallon. That's 0.6 cents higher than Tuesday's average of $3.17 a gallon. National average is now higher than it was a week ago and almost as high as in mid-August. The University of South Carolina is opening the first Anne Frank Center in North America today. The over 1,000 square foot museum will showcase the experience of hiding in an annex, including a replica of a bookcase door that she hid behind. There's also a recreation of a desk where the Holocaust victim wrote her famed diaries. Tours begin today after the school became partners with the Anne Frank House in Amsterdam in 2018. And Sarah Lee Kessler tells us Yom Kippur, the holiest day in the Jewish calendar, begins at sundown tonight. Yom Kippur is a 25-hour period marked by fasting, praying, and synagogue services in which Jews ask God for forgiveness.
It's solemn. Everyone there is fasting. We stand before God for many, many hours. On the other hand, it's also a day of joy. It's a day in which we feel confident our relationship with God will be restored.
Rabbi Chaim Putko of Congregation Ahava Torah in Englewood, New Jersey, he says Jews must first make amends with anyone they've wronged before getting straight with God. It is 16 minutes past the hour. It's a Wednesday morning, the Feast of Our Lady of Sorrows, and we go to a very powerful Marian site up next on this Wednesday morning, Our Lady of Lourdes in Lourdes, France, and Steve Ray joins us. What is it like to be there on a great Marian feast day today, Our Lady of Sorrows? He'll join us and talk about how the pilgrimage is going when we come back on a Wednesday morning. You're listening to Catholic Connection, co-produced by Ave Maria Radio and EWTN. We'll also talk with Dr. Matthew Bunsen a little bit later on in the program, just returning from fantastic coverage of the Eucharistic Congress in Budapest. More Catholic Connection coming up in just about 2 minutes. Stay tuned.
CMF Curo is a Catholic healthcare ministry providing families nationwide with a better solution centered around whole health, spirit, mind, and body. Our members share their medical burdens within a faith-filled community. At CMF Curo, our members have access to a spiritual director, concierge services, and other health and spiritual resources. Find out if CMF Curo is a better solution for your family. Visit MyCatholicHealthcare.com. That's MyCatholicHealthcare.com.
Hello, this is Steve Ray from Footprints of God Pilgrimages. Our Wisconsin pilgrimage is already sold out, but our St. Augustine trip was such a success that we're starting another one in November 1st through the 4th, the beginning of the Catholic history of our country, the first parish and the first parish mass. Great place. Also, three trips to the Holy Land, a St. Paul cruise, and Lourdes and Fatima.
To learn more about your Ave Maria Radio trip, find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at AveMariaRadio.net.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 15 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan price goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
Heading over to beautiful Lourdes, France, in the Pyrenees Mountains. Beautiful area, let me tell you. It's just amazing. This is a feast day of Our Lady of Sorrow. Steve is at the Marian site of Lourdes, of course, where St. Bernadette saw the apparitions of Our Lady. And Steve, we were just talking during the break, and I was asking you about the busyness of the area. What's it like there? Things are going on, right? Good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you, Teresa. Yeah, greetings from Lourdes. I sent you a picture of our group in front of the shrine today. Well, we've traveled all through Fatima and Santiago de Compostela. We're now here for 2 days, 2.5 days, actually, three countries. And I have to tell you, pilgrimages are back. People are out here. The streets are not as full as they were before, but there are people here. The shrine is open. The masses are going on. We had a wonderful mass yesterday at the grotto. And since the crowds were down so much, Father James Conlon from St. Francis in Ann Arbor, he got to be our chaplain. He celebrated the Mass by himself there with our group. And today we had it in the crypt of the Immaculate Conception Church, and took a tour of all the footprints of St. Bernadette today. So I'm standing on the fourth floor of the Grand Moderne, the nicest hotel in Lourdes. You know, we always have the best hotels and restaurants. It's just what we do. And I'm looking down, and the streets have people going back and forth, people in wheelchairs going for the healing waters, and it's quite a busy place.
And I imagine it's busy, but it's nice where it's not overly crowded. That's what I found when I was in Italy in June. It was just wonderful. I mean, it was busy. There were people, but it wasn't where you're fighting your way through the mass of, you know, crowds.
Oh, this is, you know, I hate lines. You've traveled with me enough that we do everything we can to avoid lines and waiting and crowds crushing us. And Mass yesterday at the Grotto, where the Our Lady appeared to Bernadette, we had 50 people at Mass, and 20 of them were us. And our priest was the chaplain. And so, yes, there's no... And also, they're limiting the number of people that go into the sites at a time. It's a funny thing what they do is they made our group all wear blue bracelet. Like, you know, when you go to the hospital, you have a band put on your wrist. And
yeah.
That showed that we were a bubble. What that means, a bubble, they refer to as people like in a family who are together so that they can all come in together. Otherwise, you have to come in five at a time. So because we had the blue band saying that we were a family bubble, we're together on the bus and at the hotel, we could all go into the sites together, but they would limit other groups from coming in while we were there. So it is quite nice to have the exclusiveness of things without the lines and the crowds.
Well, we're talking with Steve Ray, author, convert, pilgrimage leader, his website, CatholicConvert.com. Steve, every time I speak with you, I always think about your journey and your whole journey into the Catholic faith and how you were trying to prove to your dear friend Al Cresta and our friend Al Cresta that he was wrong and he was too smart to be Catholic, and then you ended up Catholic yourself by studying the church teaching. But you had a real issue, as many Protestant brothers and sisters do, with Marian dogmas, the Marian teachings of the church. And here you are leading pilgrimages now to these incredible sites, including Marian sites. And Lourdes is just, it's so powerful. Having been there twice with you, actually twice with you and then once with my husband, who's in the Order of Malta. It's such a beautiful area. It's pretty amazing to be there. Do you think about that in terms of your own journey when you're at these places?
Well, I just realized what I missed for the first 39 years of my life. I used to react against Mary because we as Baptists thought that the Catholic Church almost raised her up to a member of the Trinity, which would make four people in the Trinity, which would actually be a quadrinity, wouldn't it? But that was not the case at all. It was our misunderstanding. The Catholic Church recognizes Mary as being completely human, not divine or angelic, and because she was the mother of the Savior, the divine person who came down from heaven, she became his mother. Therefore, she was the mother of a divine person, the mother of God. And I realized after studying this how much I had missed for 39 years of our life. And I remember in my movie that I made on Mary, called Mary, Mother of God, I made a statement in there. I said, we were wrong as Protestants. And once I discovered the truth about Mary, I found out that it was not only true, but very beautiful. And now we get to celebrate the fullness of the faith in the Catholic Church.
What's the reaction of the pilgrims? And are they all there for the first time?
Most of them, I think all of them are here for the first time. Father James, who's with us, it is his first time. He had been to Santiago de Compostela in Spain, but he had never been to Fatima or Loyola or here in Lourdes. So he's just having a blast. And, you know, I have to say that Father James is one of my top five homilists. This guy, he just has amazing homilies that relate to the sites, and they're eloquent, they're challenging, they're funny. I love having him come with us. And by the way, he's our chaplain for March when we go to Italy. We've invited Father James to come with you and I to Italy for our saints and shrines because he's such a great priest to have along the way.
Mm-hmm.
He loves to wear his clerics everywhere so people know he's a priest. He's fun with the people. He's devout. It's just great. But yes, it is the first time for people, and they're all very overwhelmed by it and having a wonderful time and just keep coming up to me and saying, thank you so much for doing this because nobody else is taking trips over here right now. Thank you so much for doing this and letting us come with you.
We're talking with Steve Ray. He is speaking with us live from Lourdes, France. So, Steve, the most important messages from Our Lady of Lourdes to St. Bernadette and to all of us as we go into the break, we'll pick it up on the other side as well. But just give us about a 60-second highlight as we head into the break to get people to think about this. Because, again, this is a beautiful Marian feast day today, Our Lady of Sorrows. And there you are in Lourdes, learning more about Our Lady of Lourdes.
Well, I think it's very much the same as any time she appears in these apparitions, and it is to pray and to make sacrifices for people and to take her son seriously. And there are people going to hell because there's no one to pray for them, and to pray the rosary and to be involved in the faith, to put the faith number one. Too many
right.
people in America especially put everything else first. No, I'm not an American first. I'm everything else is secondary. I am a Catholic. I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. That is first. Everything else comes second to that.
Amen.
And I think that's what the message was.
All right. We'll be right back. More with Steve Ray from Lourdes. It is a Wednesday morning, the Feast of Our Lady of Sorrows, 25 minutes past the hour. Stay tuned. More Catholic Connection coming right up. Welcome back, Catholic Connection. September 15, 2021, Feast of Our Lady of Sorrows. Very fitting that Steve Ray is in a beautiful Marian site, one of the most important ones, Lourdes, France. And Steve, you introduced us to that amazing doctor who is Italian. He's from Italy, but was raised part of his life in America. He joined us talking about some of the miracles in Lourdes, and he was fantastic. I understand he also spoke to your group. Tell us about that.
Yes, Dr. Alessandro De Francisci. He is the director of the Lourdes Medical Bureau. They determine and make the determinations of authentic miracles here. Now, there's a lot of people that get healed psychologically, emotionally, mentally, morally, and physically. I mean, I'm stunning miracles, but they do not just accept those. They have to. There's a strict criteria for saying that a miracle has taken place, and they have 70 authenticated miracles that doctors and scientists and others work on. And they're not all Catholic, by the way. This is if they were all just Catholic theologians, then it would be skeptical. But they have a whole international group of scientists and medical personnel who many of them are not Catholics, and they go through rigorous, sometimes 10-15 years investigations. The last one was in the 1960s. A woman was healed here. So he is in charge of that, and it was such a blessing because I called ahead and asked it. He said, Steve, anytime you bring your groups, let me know, and I'll give a talk to them. So this is the third or fourth time now.
Wow.
He spent an hour and a half with our group yesterday. He did a slideshow giving us a whole presentation on the history of Lourdes, how they make the determination, the first and the last cases. He was just exceptional, and he's extremely funny as well, and very Orthodox Catholic. He's just a delight to listen to. So it's one of the blessings that people have when they come with us on these trips. And we also have wonderful masses like yesterday and today. And today is the Sorrows of Mary. So on the bus yesterday, I did my talk that was my inaugural one I did with you. First time I ever did it was called The 11 Unknown Sorrows of Mary. And I did that on the bus yesterday for the group.
Yeah, yeah. It's really powerful. So what are people saying about Lourdes? Because the area is really beautiful. If you go up to the fort on the top, and then when we drove, remember we rode from... Didn't we go from Lourdes to... Where did we go after Lourdes? Because we drove through the mountains. I'll never forget that. We had the double-decker bus.
This time, yep. We start with your group. We started, I think, in Lourdes and went to Fatima.
Fatima, that's right. Yeah.
Most of the time we started in Fatima. Like this time, we started in Fatima and came up to Lourdes. And but people are just bowled over by it all. Especially today, we went to the parish chapel here in the baptismal font of St. Bernadette. And we all renewed our baptismal vows there. And Father James, he's so funny, you know, he takes that water bottle. He got us all soaked. He said, we're really going to do this right over here, you know. But we all renewed our baptismal vows there where she was baptized. And we went to her house where she was born and lived and the prison where that family lived in destitution for so many years. And Mass at the grotto site there. So everybody is very impressed with this. There's so much to see here. We have two full days. They have today all afternoon free, and they're just going to the churches. They're going to the sites again. They're shopping. Some are taking a nap, I think. And we all had to have COVID tests you know, to come back home, and everybody tested negative, so everybody's clear to go home. So, you know, really the whole COVID thing has been, people were worried about it being a big issue, but it's really been almost nothing here.
Yeah.
It hasn't hindered us at all.
Yeah, I think, too, as we were saying the last time you were with us with Father, that this is a pilgrimage, after all. And when you take a pilgrimage, even though we keep our pilgrims very, very comfortable in beautiful buses and hotels, you know, things happen because you're overseas and you're traveling with a group, so you may hit some bumps in the road, you know, as an analogy, but you move on and you deal with it. And these are small things in order to, if you think about the suffering of the sites and the saints of the sites that you're seeing in terms of what St. Bernadette went through and how much she suffered. You know, the Song of Bernadette is always one of my favorite movies, and having seen that over and over again and then going to Lourdes, everything just really, I think, is crystallized for us. One thing I wanted to ask you, we have about 4 minutes left. So when you were growing up as a Protestant brother, you know, thought we worshipped Mary and had a misunderstanding, which many people do, and probably because a lot of Catholics, myself included for many years, did not know how to explain why the Church taught what she teaches about the Catholic Church. But obviously there was information when you looked into it about miracles that were confirmed. And you just talked about this doctor who was qualified, I mean, beyond belief in terms of his, you know, background, and you have other doctors that test these miracles out. For example, we've been to Lanciano a number of times, probably half a dozen times, and if you go downstairs in that church, and the doctors didn't even know that this was from, you know, this is from the church. They were just asked to examine what was muscle, what turned out, and they confirmed that it was heart muscle. But did you hear about any of this evidence, and what was your reaction to it back then, if you did?
No, we didn't hear about this. Our group, you know, was kind of very cultish, I think, a lot of times a fundamentalist in the Baptist Bible Church, non-denominational realm. And we're kept from all of this information, and we didn't know about it. And if we did know about it, we would say, well, God cures people, you know, sometimes even if they have screwed up Catholic ideas, God will still bless their faith. But also we would have quite, I remember even talking about this when I was a Baptist, that it's from the devil. The devil does these things in order to snare Catholics. And can you believe the bizarre view that I would have held as a young teenager, early 20s, is that the devil does these things. He does these miracles as an angel of light, so to speak, and that he does that to trick Catholics, to keep them trapped under the yoke of Rome so that they never get the real gospel and get free. You know, the ridiculousness of that now, as I think about it, it almost makes me nauseated. But the fact is that these are miracles of God. We know that Mary, in the Old Testament, the queen was always the mother of the king and was raised up to seat at his right hand, and she ruled in the kingdom with him. And it's the same. Jesus is the best king of Israel ever, and he raised his mother up to rule with him. And she cares about people, and she comes in these apparitions, and her message is always, do whatever he tells you. It's not about her. She knows it's not about her. She's an evangelist. She comes here with a message of hope and love, and she always points to her son. She knows it's not about her. It's about her divine son. She's not divine. Her son is divine. Do whatever he tells you, she says.
Mm. And it's kind of such a warped way of trying to twist into not believing and saying that God would allow this miracle to keep people ensnared. I mean, that makes absolutely no sense. I mean, you know, if you think about it, right?
No, we felt the devil did that because he was trying to do every trick he could to keep people away from the truth. But yes, it is a sick view, and I can't believe that I held it in my younger years, but that's the way I was raised. That's the way I was trained, and thank God he delivered me from that in my late 30s when we discovered the Catholic Church. And I have always said that I've learned more about Mary from the Old Testament through typology and all the images of the second Eve and the new Jerusalem and the Ark of the Covenant, all of these things which helped me to understand Mary more in the whole biblical context.
Yeah, that's so beautiful. Well, Steve, when do you head home?
Well, the group is heading home early, early tomorrow morning. They're going to Toulouse to catch a flight home, and they're all cleared to go. Janet and I are staying an extra 2 days to relax and to enjoy the place kind of without the pressure of a group and to meet some friends and so on. And we're going to fly home on Saturday, and then we have two trips going to Israel. later this year. It looks like they're going to fly now. Things are opening up again in Israel. We've got a trip going to St. Augustine, Florida in November.
All right, with
and
Al
you
Cresta.
And I are going to Italy.
Italia in March. We're doing the great itinerary of saints and shrines of Italy. Start up north and head all the way down south to San Giovanni Rotondo for Padre Pio. You can find that on our pilgrimage page at AveMariaRadio.net. And also both of our websites under events, TeresaTamio.com and CatholicConvert.com. Thanks, Steve. Safe travels. We'll talk soon. Really have an international version of Catholic Connection today, even though our friend Dr. Matthew Bunsen from EWTN is back home in the States, thanks be to God, safely. But talking about beautiful things going on in the world, Steve Ray with the pilgrimage over in Lourdes on this the Feast of Our Lady of Sorrows, and now Matthew back home from fantastic coverage of the Eucharistic Congress. Congratulations, all the great work, of course, working with Peter Gagnon. I know it was amazing. He does such a great job of coordinating it, and it's no it's no easy task. So just I want to explain to the listeners, because we make it, you know, people say, oh, it looks so easy, blah, blah, blah. But when you're in broadcasting, you know what goes on behind the scenes, and you know what it takes not just to put on a radio show, but especially a television show when there is so much that has to be done. So how many people were there? And let's talk a little bit about the coverage. Thanks for joining us, Matthew. Appreciate it.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's great to be with you. And, I mean, what a privilege to be able to have a small part in our coverage over that week from the 5th to the 12th,
right,
the opening mass and all the way to Pope Francis's closing mass. And it was the result, our broadcast, of an intense and truly incredible amount of work on the part of Peter Gagnon and the whole team coming up from Irondale, from Birmingham. Of course, Father John Paul Mary, who was such a wonderful commentator on everything that we were seeing and the reflections that he was able to give on the Eucharist. But then we also had the international teams that were there. We had EWTN Hungary, Poland, Germany. We also had the whole Vatican Bureau. It seemed, I'm not sure if there's anyone left in Rome, all of them coming in. So we were really working in four or five languages.
Wow.
For this broadcast, and so we were able to broadcast in German and Polish and Hungarian and of course in English. So this was a truly international effort, but it was also a statement to the growth of EWTN in Europe, and the work of everyone who is part of that EWTN presence.
So in terms of, you think, the main points and the main takeaways for you covering this, and by the way, we're talking with Dr. Matthew Bunsen regarding the Eucharistic Congress that wrapped up this month in Budapest, and he was there for the whole time covering it and bringing us great reports along with commentary from other EWTN contributors. Your thoughts on the biggest takeaways from the event, what do you think?
Well, in terms of the Eucharistic Congress itself, and then we can talk also about Pope Francis's visit, both to Hungary and then to Slovakia. They're tied in a way, obviously. For the Eucharistic Congress, I think there were two big things from my sense. The first was any Eucharistic Congress has an important task, and this one succeeded, I thought, brilliantly, in focusing the attention of not just the participants, but everyone from around the world who's following it, who's watching it or reading the reports about it, on the real presence of the Eucharist and how we have to recapture that sense of it. And then launch, I know what the U.S. bishops are hoping to do, which is an authentic Eucharistic revival at a time when it is so badly needed. The other aspect is that it's more regional, and that is to Europe, and in particular Central Europe, that we saw the presence of Cardinal Peter Erdő, who's the Archbishop of Budapest, but then we also had someone like Cardinal Dominik Duka from Prague in the Czech Republic. That presence of the Eucharist, of the Eucharistic Congress, sent a message to Central Europe about the need to defend and promote and evangelize the Christian faith. We need to be proclaiming this in Central Europe at a time when secularism, the dictatorship of relativism, materialism, and the dubious reflirtation, so to speak, with socialism and communism are on the rise, certainly in Western Europe and in the United States.
Mm-hmm. And I think there's a lot of similarities with what's going on in Europe. We used to be, I would say, maybe they were past us in terms of going to secularism and more of a communistic and socialistic approach. But I think now, with some of the things as a result of the last election and some of the things that are happening with this push for more and more socialism-type programs here in the States, unfortunately, we're catching up. And as we know, in history, in the world and in the church, the only answer is Christ in the church, especially the Eucharist.
Well, that's right. And that message is one that needs to be delivered very clearly. Also, the willingness to suffer for the faith. Three names were very prominent in many of the conversations, both publicly and privately, throughout the Eucharistic Congress. The first was Stefan Wyszynski, who was beatified this weekend. We can talk more about that in a minute. The other was Aloysius Stepanash, who was the Archbishop of Croatia, who himself suffered as a result of the communists. The other was Cardinal Joseph Menzenti, who was the primate of Hungary, who suffered imprisonment, torture for years, and somebody that I actually met as a child, and I was able to talk about that in some of our coverage, but who is a figure of martyrdom. It was a dry martyrdom. It was kind of white martyrdom, but he endured it. He endured suffering for the faith, and that matters. And that is a name that is very well known among the Hungarians, and a name that I think needs to be better known around the world, as we here are facing the starts of a soft persecution.
Oh yeah, yeah. I think we've got a lot of a lot of white martyrdom already going on. I mean, we see that in various places in terms of the cancel culture and the attacks on the church, and the report that the bishops just put out about how many physical attacks our churches around the country have endured since 2020. It's very frightening. I'm glad they're putting that out there for our awareness. So how do you think, and by the way, if you're just joining us, 45 minutes past the hour, talking with Dr. Matthew Bunsen, fresh back from our coverage of the Eucharistic Congress in Hungary, how do you think this will be translated? And I'm not talking about the language. I'm talking about how does this practically impact us as Catholics worldwide to reignite the Eucharist, because this is the issue that keeps coming up, and that's why we know that the bishops are working on this big effort, and we're working with them at EWTN and Ave Maria Radio to get this message out leading up to a big event here. How do we translate that fire, that excitement, that passion that we saw in with EWTN's coverage? How do we bring that home to everyday Catholics, do you think, Matthew?
Yeah, I think this Eucharistic Congress, there was an event. There were two, really, but the event, to my mind, of the week was, we can look at Pope Francis's closing mass, the so-called Statio Orbis, but to my mind, the event that we need to take with us out of this happened the night before, and that was the Eucharistic procession that stretched for a mile and a half from the Parliament building in Budapest all the way to Hero Square, where the final mass was going to be held. I say that because conservative estimates are about 150,000 people lined the streets. I know from having been part of the coverage that with the drones and other things, there was a line, that a body of believers that stretched from Hero Square all the way to Parliament, and it was still moving at the end of the procession. So in other words, people were still at Parliament trying to march forward when this thing ended in Hero Square.
Wow.
We are told today that such a procession is simply not possible, that no one is interested in this, that we won't be able to get young people involved, that's an old-fashioned sort of militant Christianity type of approach to things. This was prayerful. It hymns all the way. They stopped. They had prayers. It was an absolute phenomenal moment. And I think that's something that we need to be recreating in city after city here in the United States.
The issues that Hungary faced in terms of what they were up against in terms of their government prior to and now where they're at faith-wise, they are one of the most faithful countries on the map, especially in Europe, correct?
Yes. So the challenges that they face are some similar to the rest of Europe and Central Europe, and that is the slow erosion of Christian culture, of Christian life. The inroads of secularism and materialism, and they recognize that, that those are going to be the challenges. The other aspect is that we look at the fruits of that, and that is the decline of the family. That in country after country, including now the United States, we do not really have a replacement population. We are below that threshold.
Right.
And Hungary has made a very aggressive decision to try to reverse that with government incentivizing of families. And a lot of policies, controversial that they may be in other parts of woke Western Europe, but policies that are designed to try to stabilize their culture. That includes laws relating to gender ideology, abortion, contraceptive culture. So when you look at those together, certainly the Hungarian government, while it's derided in the West for what is of this perceived hyper-nationalism, these are policies that at the very least have many areas that are consonant with Catholic social teaching and are at least trying to address the growing social problems that we see in the West of depopulation and a neo-pagan type of materialist society that is almost the quintessential definition of John Paul II's culture of death.
Right. Right. You know, what's really powerful, I heard a story told to me by friends of ours, one of them is from Hungary. His roots are there, and he wanted to go back and kind of do, he was on vacation, and they were cruising around Europe, and they stopped over there, and they did a tour, and they had a tour guide point out apartment buildings to them and how the buildings were built to keep the family separated. They made the walls very thin so people could spy on each other, and they did not have an area where people could eat together because they knew that family time around the Eucharist, or around the table, which is very Eucharistic, obviously, had an impact on strengthening the family. So what they did was they wanted to weaken the family, so they designed places where they lived to work against that family bond.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And we have here in the United States laws that disincentivize marriages, that actually end up promoting cohabitation. We have in the Biden administration certainly one that is looking at social and economic policy to advance an agenda that they see as important for them, and that is the promotion of abortion and gender ideology. So these are things that, the old saying that elections have consequences, and
right.
In this case they certainly do. We can add in the complications of President and Speaker of the House who are ardently in support of abortion and other things that are openly contrary to the teachings of the church, and that's something we have to remedy and rectify. I expect that Pope Francis will at least be asked about some of this on the in-flight presser coming back. We'll have a lot more on that, so stay tuned for Andrea Gagliarducci's reporting, and he's on the plane for the Catholic News Agency, which is representing all of EWTN News and the papal flight back to Rome. As you know, Teresa, the papal flights tend to make news.
Oh, yes.
Especially the return flights to Rome. So we'll see if that happens. Okay,
right.
I think it will be. We'll go from there. But I think Francis was also making a point in Slovakia about recovering those Christian roots. He talked about the founders of so much of the church in that region. That's the two great saints of Cyril and Methodius, who created essentially the Glagolitic language in order to be able to evangelize, to write the gospel and to proclaim the gospel. And we need more of Cyrils and Methodius today. We need to be able to translate the teachings of the church in that language that the modern world can understand, which is one of the calls of the Second Vatican Council.
Absolutely. I was just looking over the Second Vatican Council documents on Intermorifica regarding the media and the beauty of church teaching and looking at what the church gives us in this body of teaching of how to evangelize. So, Matthew, great discussion. I wish we had another hour because I have about 20 other questions I wanted to ask you, which means we're just going to have you back on very soon. Dr. Matthew Bunsen, excellent job covering, along with our incredible team of EWTN led by Peter Gagnon, and, of course, all the great people that contributed so much great work, and that's why we need to keep EWTN and all of our affiliates on the air. So please check us out, and as dear, dear, dear Mother Angelica always said, keep us between your gas and electric bills. We have to put this out there because nobody else is covering this the way we're covering it. They may mention it. They may mention that the Pope, you know, was here, there, or wherever. But this constant coverage of putting things out there, of the need for the Eucharist, of prayer, of what's happening in different countries around the world, nobody does that but us. Okay? So please keep that in mind. Keep us in your prayers. And again, keep us between your gas and electric bill. We will certainly catch up again with Dr. Matthew Bunsen. His amazing work, his 50-plus books, his great work on the saints and his many programs, and also his work with our EWTN News Nightly and all of our great news outlets. We'll be right back on a Wednesday. Stay tuned.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Hi, everybody. This is Dr. Ray. My latest book, Jesus, the Master Psychologist, Listen to Him, talks about how Jesus was 2,000 years ahead of modern enlightened psychology. If he's God, he knows the absolute best way to live, whether psychology agrees or whether it doesn't. Go to AveMariaRadio.net to get your copy. Jesus will tell you the best way to live.
College football is back this fall. Hailing from sunny Southwest Florida, the Ave Maria University Gyrenes will take on their Sun Division opponent for exciting and hard-hitting football. All games can be live-streamed by going to avemaria.edu and clicking on the live-stream football button. This Saturday, it's the home opener for the Gyrenes as they take on Point Georgia. Game time at 7 p.m. Tune in for great college football played by an authentic Catholic university. avemaria.edu.
Welcome back, Catholic Connection. Wow, that hour went by fast, and all I can think about is all the other questions I have for both Steve Ray and our friend Dr. Matthew Bunsen from EWTN. Well, we'll just have to have them both on. Okay, so coming up tomorrow, I've been mentioning this fantastic story that Catholic News Agency has been doing on a Christian in Afghanistan that's contacted them. We're going to have an update on that and, of course, all the latest news. Have a great Wednesday. Talk to you on a Thursday. Ciao, ciao.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Krucek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.